Today's scriptures are Philippians 4, verse 1 to 9, and 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Yoda, and I plead with Synthesis to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the Book of Life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Well, I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, my prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is quiet, pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, and anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, have one another, be compassionate and humble. This is the word of God.
Well, again, it is good to be with you this evening. It is always good to drive down here and just to be a part of this fellowship and to see you all and to just, I just always get excited as we gather together, and we gather together in the name of the Lord. And that is really the exciting part about this. I thought tonight, if I wrote bigger, I wouldn't have to lift up my book, but I just might have to. I don't know if I can write, if I have a book big enough for that. But anyway, excuse me if I pick up it. It seems, if anything, it just keeps me from pointing at us all. So, well, if I hold it into my hand. But I just want to remind us that, you know, really Philippians, we're getting probably into our last message out of Philippians or from me. And I want to remind you of verse 1, verse 6, Philippians 1, verse 6. It says this: he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. And just know that we are being drawn closer to Jesus as we spend time with him, as we pray, and as we're going to think about what he is going to say to us tonight, Paul, as he says to this church, as we move towards Christ, we will be in that process of being transformed, changed from the inside out. We will look at life differently. We will live life differently. And we will be moved to act differently because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, as I was thinking of this verse tonight, or this passage tonight, I was reminded of a psalm. And I'm going to read you Psalm 133. And in case some of you are worried, it's only three verses, so don't worry. It's not that long. It's not Psalm 119. But Psalm 133 is part of the Psalms of Ascent, and it's a Psalm of David. And these Psalms were said to have been read or recited and sung as people journeyed towards Jerusalem on their festival occasions, as they were commanded to by the Lord to come to him to recognize his lordship and his dominion, and to praise God and to also thank God for his care for his people. And so as they would go along, they would meet on the roads, they would travel in these little clots or groups and move their way towards Jerusalem. And as they sang these songs, I could only imagine, it was like, you know, they were leaving their day-to-day lives, and in their day-to-day lives, you never know what was going on. They might have been in the middle of weeding or growing something, or the day-to-day stresses of life. And here they are being moved by God toward the temple where God resided. And then as they were drawn, I guess in some ways it's similar to us as we sing worship songs before every service. What it does is it really just captures our hearts and our minds, and it sets us in a place where we can be present with God. And we sort of set aside the busyness and the stresses of this world. And so as these people move on, they are being drawn towards the presence of God. And then it said, as the priests walked up the steps of the temple, they too were to recite these Psalms of Ascent, walking towards. And because the temple was on a rock, on a mountain, and they were drawn up to it, right? And so that was an exciting thing. So as we do this, as we enter into Philippians, I just want us to consider this, what David had to say. And it starts like this: "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." Do you see what his point of this whole thing is? As you come together, you're being unified in Christ. We are. They were being unified in God, but because Christ hasn't come to wholeness yet. But we are being unified, and we're coming together in unity. It is like the precious oil of the head running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing life forevermore. Wonderful words. You know, and it's just to let you know that image of the oil being poured down was the image of the Holy Spirit descending and doing a work in somebody's life. So when there was a priest that was being anointed or a king was being anointed, they poured oil over them. And it wasn't just a little drop. It was poured out on them that symbolized the Spirit falling on them, like the dew on the mountains. And we know what dew is like. It happens, and we wake up in the morning some days and we're wet. Because of how wet the ground is, there's an abundance of moisture. And that is the blessing of God as we come together in unity. And that's an important thing as we head into this passage, because we're being called together. And it is good for us to be gathered and united in Jesus, I said earlier. And in verse 1, it talks about Paul's sort of charge to the people, in the sense of, this is how I want you to live out your faith in the midst of the community, that is a community of non-believers, as you gather in Christ. This is how I want you to live, because I love you and I want you to experience the fullness of this, is to stand firm in Jesus, or stay close to the Lord, stay close in the Lord. So it's not just about us determining that we're going to stay close, but it's as we enter into this relationship with God, we are being moved to be close to him. He is doing a work in our lives. And the reason Paul says this is because he knows that calamity is one of those things that will strike this community, either as individuals or as a group. And calamity is these circumstances that are either external or internal that disrupt your lives. And I think we're all quite aware of what calamity can look like in our lives. Well, I want to share a poem with you that speaks of this, and hopefully this will maybe give you an image of what calamity could be. And this is a poem that a good friend of mine, Don Waddell, I've heard him recite a few times at different cowboy poetry gatherings. And hopefully this will give us a grasp of what calamity looks like. And it's called The Shower. On those cold October mornings when the trees are going bare and the smell of frost and fruit and wood smoke still linger in the air. The tingling of the skin and flesh and blood and bone are touched by old sweet memories of autumns I have known. The excitement of the senses waking up on cold dim dawn to the smell of woolen blanket and downstairs the coffee's on. My mother's voice, much louder, on her third and final call. The chattering of my teeth as I jump up and down the hall. I run into the bathroom, cross cold linoleum floors. The curling of my toes as I stood and dropped my drawers and reached and turned the faucet on, picked up a bar of soap, and climbed into the shower, full of fear and dread and hope. You see, it was an old shower my father had put up. Just a nozzle and a long lead pipe and rose above the tub, like a post at executions where you tied up with a knot, but you're standing naked with your eyes shut, awaiting that fatal shot. You see, my dad's, he was no plumber. He built the shower from plans he'd found in an old magazine, I think Modern Romance. If downstairs someone should turn a tap, then suddenly that gentle flow of comforting warm water turned frigid, don't you know? And the victim stood there helpless, frozen in surprise from the sudden lack of vision as their eyeballs crystallized. And the pain throughout your body from the frostbite in your blood, your flesh turns white and rigid, and your heart stops with a thud. But to freeze a body's gentle compared to when you boil it, which would happen in the shower when somebody flushed the toilet. It came without a warning as you sang, la la, and scrubbed. No rumbling in the pipes and the volcano would erupt. It just blew up in your face or from behind the lava rose and caught you bending over as you washed between your toes. You jump up, yell, scream, and try to run, but fall down in a heap, medium well done. Oh yes, another Christian martyr in the flames trying to pray. Oh Lord, forgive that flusher. But please not right away.